Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Listen, this is so much wisdom, isn't it?
Yes, from very Ruth good.
Graham, and thank God for Ann Graham Lotz, who's, yes.
And thank you for Franklin for just testing this theory out. I mean,
if you haven't read the book, maybe you can see it on your screen. It's called Rebel Without a Cause. And my son read it when he's 10 years. I'm like, thank you, Franklin. We appreciate that. I think he read it as like a script or something.
Oh, wow.
But thank the Lord that, you know, our children love God and, and they've made their own decisions in
it's
their life.
It's a beautiful thing.
And so Anne's being Ruth's being asked a question. Ruth Graham, the wife of Billy Graham, is being asked a question from her daughter, Ann Graham Lotz, about how to raise your children. And I talked a little bit right before the break is, you know, when you're talking about transitioning your children when they're, you know, 1 year old, 5 years old, 10 years old, 12, 14, 15, 16, 18, I mean, how do you, when do you let go? When do you stop, you know, being micromanaging of their life? You should be micromanaging their life when they're one and five and six, but you're teaching them skills that hopefully they can survive, you know, in life, some basic skills, and teaching them about the things of God. But the best thing you can do about God is just live for God. Mm. Live for God and demonstrate to your children that you're every one of us are flawed, but just love God in front of them and serve God in front of them and be honest about your journey.
We teach what we know, we reproduce what we are.
That's the truth.
And so
that's
they're going to watch, be that living example, and they'll duplicate it.
Right. Except for the bad stuff. Anyway, so this is what, the answer that Ruth Graham gives to Ann Graham Lotz. This is Billy Graham's wife and daughter. You know, what kind of transition to make when you're raising your children from age to age? Let's see what she had to say.
What, thinking of that when to turn loose, what kind of transition do you make between being a parent of teenagers and, like, my children are now in their 20s, mm-hmm. so they're young adults, and then as they get married and have their own homes, how much do you get involved in your children's lives, and how do you make that transition?
I think basically preteens are the time to teach. The Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That says a lot right there. Don't choke them with the Bible or teaching, but just a little. When they're in high school, I think it's time to shut up and listen, because by then they know what you stand for and what you hope for them, but they need a sounding board. And you're a fortunate mother if your children will open up and sound off. Sometimes they're just born quiet, so to keep things to themselves. And our youngest brother, Ned, would kind of come sit on your bed 10 o'clock at night and then talk forever. I mean, talk 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. But you're so glad to have him talking that you don't object and you learn some interesting things that way. So I think it's basically train up to high school, listen from teenage years on, and encourage every step of the way. That teacher who taught or tried to teach us how to water ski was a famous instructor from the south of France. And every other word was a word of encouragement. Each step you did as you were trying to, how to crouch in the water, how to stand, how to balance, he's encouraging you every step of the way. And I think children need encouraging. Everybody needs encouraging, but I think especially as children, young people grow up.
And I think you've been a wonderful encourager. And my mother is also a wonderful listener, and she talked about my younger brother who would climb up on her bed and pour his heart out. And I can remember nights when I climbed up on your bed and poured my heart out. And you've always made yourself available to just listen. I think sometimes as a parent, I feel like I have to have answers. And sometimes I think children just want to talk. They don't need an answer or
exactly.
a cliche, sort of. They just need somebody to listen
exactly.
and to love them. Mm-hmm. And Mother wrote a poem when my brothers were prodigals, and she wrote this poem that sort of described a little bit of what she was going through. She waited for the call that never came, searched every mail for a letter or a note or card that bore his name, and on her knees at night and on her feet all day, she stormed heaven's gate in his behalf. She pled for him in heaven's high court. Be still and wait, the word he gave, and so she knew he would do in and for and with him that which she never could. Doubts ignored, she went about her chores with joy, knowing though spurned, his word was true. The prodigal had not returned, but God was God, and there was work to do. And I think as we were raised and you had so many difficulties, you just got on with the work.
Right.
And that's a wonderful thing because many people were blessed, including Daddy, who would come home needing that sort of refilling and refreshing. And you were free somehow from the burden of the prodigals to minister to him. Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful thing. Is there something that you feel is very key in passing faith in Jesus Christ on to our children?
Okay. I had a tremendous load lifted when I first realized, God said to me, he never has talked to me audibly, but there's no mistaking when he says something, usually contrary to what I'm thinking. You take care of the possible, he said to me, and trust me for the impossible. And impossible lies in the realm of miracles, and miracles are not in your department, and that's true. And so the possible means making a home where the children are loved and accepted, you know, preparing meals, helping with the clothes or whatever they need help with, just to be available as a mother and be there. A mother like God needs to be a very present help in trouble. I mean, they shouldn't come home from school in the afternoon and find the mother's gone somewhere. And I know that some mothers, working mothers, but the children are smart and they know why she's working, because she has to, because she wants to buy another car or, you know, on things, and they're going to get their standards from their mother, materialistic or not. But I think we have to take care of the possible and trust God for the impossible. And the impossible for us is conviction of sin, creating a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, and conversion. And all of those are miracles. And as God quite plainly laid on my heart, miracles are not in our department. We take care of the possible and trust him for the impossible.
Well, I think there's something else that you had told me also, that, in fact, you gave me an illustration that you can't teach your children to enjoy eating spinach if every time they see you eating yours, you gag.
Yeah, someone said the best way to teach a child how to eat is to let him see that his parents enjoying their food.
Right. And I think the same thing would be true with our faith.
Sure.
That one reason I wanted to receive that baton of faith from you is because you enjoyed it so much and you enjoy the Lord. And
absolutely.
I'll never forget. This is so important. You know, she basically said, you know, up until the time to go to, you know, the early teens before high school, teach. But once they become a high school student, getting their teen years, shut up and listen and pray for them. And just realize, be an ever-present help, like God's ever-present help in time of trouble. And there will be times of trouble when they start testing out their little wisdom and stuff, you know, and, you know, all those kind of things that go down. And you want to stay present. You don't want to say things that put walls between you and them. You're trying to always keep things open so when they come to themselves that they know that there is no wall there between you, them and God, or you and God. Mm-hmm. And I like what she said too about, you know, if you want your kids to enjoy their food, enjoy yours.
That's right.
I'll never forget Megan, our oldest daughter, and Amber were sitting at the same table. They were young, right? And Amber loved all this different kinds of natural foods and whatever. But Megan picked up something. Megan picked up something she didn't like, and as soon as she didn't like it, Amber couldn't eat it. And so it was just how you picked that up, right?
Yeah.
And so we said, "Well, Megan, you're going to eat Amber's too." And then Jared, my son, he would always look to his sister, and I remember he was over at my parents' house, and Dad's asking him, you know, or Mom's asking him, "You want some of this?" And so he goes all the way over to Amber and asks her, "Do I like that?" Right? And so, which means this, that everything that we're doing, people are watching, our family's watching. If we're living for God, I know we're about to go right here, but if we're living for God, that's great wisdom she's talking about. There's so many things that we're moving in sometimes that's the miracle department. You know, mm-hmm. God is going to bring salvation. We pray for it. God's going to bring conviction. That's the Holy Spirit bringing conviction. You don't bring conviction. You bring criticism if you're saying something. You just got to love on them. Sometimes that's the best thing you could do at those kind of moments. And these miracle department, but the department is not the miracle. Like, live your life, you know, take care of the family that just wants to be taken care of, you know, love and worship God and realize, God, I'm trusting you. Pray, you know, continually. And we're about to close, but this is very, very good news. I know this, you know, we want to hear from you. Maybe that's you. You know, maybe you're thinking, my goodness, I should have let go sooner. Or I need to let go sooner. I got to get some trust issues resolved in my heart, because God is able, if he's able to handle me, he can handle my children. And maybe you're starting to raise your children and realize, you know what, I haven't even gone to church. I haven't fellowshiped with anybody in the Lord. If I want my children to serve God, I need to serve God. If I want my children to honor God, I need to honor God. 24/7, not just on Sunday for 15 minutes. Comment below. Write to us. We love hearing from you. We want to pray for you right now. Father God, we just pray a blessing over our community. We call in the prodigals. We call them back to you, Father, and to their families, Lord God. We just bless them, God. And we just decree by faith we decree, Lord, that abortion has ended in America, that revival has come in America, and the third great awakening is here in America. By faith, we decree it in Jesus' name. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.